Good evening, everyone. Open your Bibles here, the book of Isaiah. And start with Isaiah chapter 1 here tonight. And we'll kind of camp in chapter 3, but Isaiah chapter 1 just for some opening thoughts here. With this current election that we have gone through and where things are, I'm trying to understand where our country started at, where we are and where we're going. And one thing I want to be careful of, I don't ever say God is doing this, because I'm not God in the sense that I know his will perfectly, what God is doing. But one angle that could be looked at what's happening in America, and what I'd like to share tonight of Isaiah here, is just how God sees things and how God, looking at the children of Israel and Jerusalem and what they went through, and then make some parallels to our nation and our people where we're at as a country. How God dealt with in the past is a good indication of how he deals with situations in the future. Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, when he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, king of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people does not consider. Ah, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoer, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backwards. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, for it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughters of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Let's pray here. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray as we look at it tonight here, Lord, I just pray you guide our thoughts here tonight. And Lord, give me wisdom and understanding in your word to articulate things of God here tonight. Father, I want to honor your son, Jesus Christ. I want to honor your word, the eternal word of God. So bless us as your people as we gather around it. And I pray, Lord, that we would see what the Holy Spirit, what the Lord God Almighty is doing in our midst here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thing about God's justice, does God punish sinners? Does he punish them? Absolutely. Now, God is gracious and merciful. And sometimes when God's mercy and grace is set aside and he says, I'm going to be a just God here, we think he's unjust. Because he's just, we're so used to grace and mercy that when he acts as the judge, we almost feel, oh, that's too hard, God. That's too quick. It's too much. But it's not really, because he's being very just. A man will reap what he sows. Now, in this passage here, prophet Isaiah's writing. He's writing what God feels here toward his people. Isaiah ministered under these kings here in verse 1, and these four kings. And God makes an appeal here in verse 2. Hear, O heaven, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. You know, God is speaking, but are people listening? God is communicating, but are we heeding what God has to say? God says, I have nourished and brought up children. Now think about the children of Israel. What more could God have done for them? Name me something more. And look at the plagues in Egypt, how he delivered them out of Pharaoh's hand. The mighty power of God, parting the Red Sea, and they walked across. 40 years in the wilderness, he fed them with manna every day. I mean, God was a God that was in their midst. They go to Jericho, and they just march around the walls. And on the seventh day, they march around seven times, and the walls fall down flat. I mean, God was in their midst. And God was a great God to them. He says, I've nourished and brought up children, the children of Israel. But what's been the end result? They've rebelled against me. Verse 3 says, the ox knows its owner, the donkey his master's crib. But Israel does not know my people, does not know, my people does not consider. The issue, they didn't think about God. They had so many blessings of God. Now, as I paint this picture here, I want you to think about America. Are we a blessed nation materially? We are very blessed. Victor, you're from the Ukraine, and when you came to America here, tell me, what did you see about our prosperity that hit you?
When I came to America, I came not for material point stand. I came to America, I've always been, you know, from little boy, I always been here about America as a God's country.
Okay.
Lots of Christians, lots of churches, lots of people pray to the God.
Yes.
I grew up in a communist country. But it's been difficult with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I have an opportunity to come and refugee family from all that, you know, system. I came here to America. Yes, God bless material. Yes. Right and left, you look at, you know, America bless. Right. Some of the country, people work very hard. Not less, and we work hard here, but not half, even half.
Right.
God bless America.
Yes, we have had so many blessings, but in our prosperity, we have forgotten the God that has blessed us. And that's what God is saying here. My people does not consider. Now, God's assessment of the children of Israel in verse 4, this is, if he was to write a sketch of the nation, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, forsaken the Lord. Now, as you read down through this list here, God takes it very personal. They have provoked the Holy One, the God of Israel, unto anger. They have gone backwards. And as I look at America, I just see so much we've gone backwards. We haven't gone forward. And but because of verse 4, verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? Now, God deals with people to bring them to repentance. But he's saying, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. It's a very bleak picture of where they were spiritually. From the sole of the foot even to your head, there's no soundness in it. I mean, these people, in God's eyes, had gone over the edge. And grace, mercy, patience, loving kindness. God said, enough's enough, and he drew a line. And they stepped over into God's judgment. You know, I just look in America, and I see all the sins everywhere. I mean, I don't understand our leaders. They're talking about legalizing marijuana. Now, think about that for a minute. A drug that makes people act out of their mind. Is that what you want your young people to be doing with their money and their time? To be high on drugs? But that's our leaders. And, when I read verse 7, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire. I thought about California. That state's on fire. All that Midwest out there, not the Midwest, but the West Coast. I mean, they're just burning with fire. And yet, you know, sometimes I think, God, these natural disasters should turn people to God. It doesn't seem to have any effect. It doesn't seem like it brings repentance. It doesn't seem like it turns people to God. Your land, strangers devour in it your presence. I just think of all these immigrants coming in into our country, illegal immigrants. People come in honestly, like Victor and others. Others come in dishonestly, devour our land. Well, that's God's assessment. We'll turn over to chapter 3 here. And I want to look here how God, once a nation reaches that stage where God deals with them in judgment to rebuke them for their wickedness, is God a king over all the earth? He is. He's king over all the earth. Sodom and Gomorrah, God dealt with them. Babylon, God dealt with them for their sin. Children of Israel, God dealt with them for their sins. Nineveh, God dealt with them for their sins. Whether you're a righteous nation or unrighteous nation, every nation is brought before God and dealt with. Well, chapter 3 here, what happens when God says to a nation, enough's enough, my wrath is going to come upon you? Now, it's one way to look at this election here that has just happened, and I want to just kind of look at chapter 3 here. For behold, the Lord of hosts does take away from Jerusalem, from Judah, the stay and the staff, the stay of bread, the whole stay of water. Now, to live, there's bread and water is a basic staple, so to speak. And when a country reaches that point where God gives them over to judgment, Jerusalem was going to be surrounded by the Babylonians, and starvation would ensue after time. How bad did it get in Jerusalem for starvation? What happened in Jeremiah they talked about? The women, what did they end up doing? Eating their own what? Children. That's how bad it got. So when God says, I'll break the staff and stay the staff and break the stay of bread, he knew what he was talking about here. That the very thing that gives life to a nation. Now, if God withholds the rain, there's not going to be any bread or wheat growing. And God has that power. He can do that if he wants to judge a nation. All right, so if God judges a nation, the staples of life are in diminishing. All right, verse 2. The mighty man of war, the judge, the prophet, and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50s, honorable men, counselors, the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. These are the leaders in the nation. Mighty men of war, judges, prophets, prudent, ancient, captains of 50, all these people that lead a nation. They're the ones saying that people follow, and these are the ones that God gives to a nation to guide a nation. Now, in America, we had some great leaders in our nation, men of God who understood the scriptures, who understood the human heart, who set up our government. These were mighty men that helped shape our nation. And God says, what is he going to do when he judges the nation? First, the food supply is going to be diminished. The second thing, your leaders are going to be removed to the side. He says, I will give them children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Young people. What is God saying here? I'll give them children. Immature people who don't know what they're doing are going to end up leading you in the judgment. God will take away your mighty men and give you people who don't know what they're doing as a judgment against a nation. And I was thinking about just what happened with our election. What I read here, when God wants to bring a nation down, the mighty man, the men of war, the judges, the prophets, the prudent, and the ancient, the elderly people who know what to do, our military leaders, the captains of 50s, honorable men, the council, all these people are going to be removed out of the way. And children, immature people who don't know how to lead are the ones that are going to be put into power. That's a judgment of God upon a nation. When good people are diminished in their leadership and people who are less than capable are put into power, that is to bring a nation down, not up. That is a judgment of God. Verse 5, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another. No, the people should be oppressed. In other words, there's going to be conflict in society. When God brings a nation down, you're going to have division and strife. You're going to have people colliding with each other. They're going to be oppressing each other, everyone another. Everyone is neighbor. That's part of the judgment of God. You're going to have social unrest. You're going to have people pitted against each other, and they're going to be oppressed one of another. Then verse 5 goes on to say, the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. In other words, the young people are going to say to the older people, you don't know what you're talking about. I know what's best. I know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it no matter what you say. The young people are going to rise up and be proud against the ancient. The older people say, hey, I've been down this road. It doesn't work. You don't want to do this. And the young people say, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do it anyway. That's the young people. They'll act proudly against the ancient, the ones that have carved out a nation and by experience and wisdom and the knowledge of God, they know these things aren't going to work. When Solomon's son, Rehoboam, took the throne after Solomon, the ancient people, the older people, said to Rehoboam, you need to show yourself kind to these people and treat them well, and they'll be your servants forever. And he asked the young people, what should I do? How should I rule these people? And they said, treat them harshly, tax them hard, show them you're in control. And as soon as he said that, guess what? The kingdom divided. And that's the young people. They don't listen to the ancient because they're proud. They think they got all the answers. And I tell you, in my life here, the more I know, the more I realize how little I knew as you get older. Because you don't have all the answers, but young people think they do. That's a sign of judgment against a nation. Child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, the base, those people that are morally corrupt against the honorable. You're going to have righteousness against unrighteous, wicked people, base people, against the honorable, the righteous people. It's going to get so bad in a society. Verse 6, when a man shall take hold of his brother, saying, of the house of his father, saying, you, thou hast clothing, be our ruler, and let this ruin be under your hand. The nation is so disintegrated, it's a ruin. The leadership is gone. The leadership is totally in dismay. Let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day he shall swear, I will not be a healer. I will not cure these ills. For my house is neither bread nor clothes. I don't have the answers for these problems. Make me not a ruler of the people. That's God's judgment upon a nation. The leadership is gone. Verse 8, for Jerusalem is ruined, Judea is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against who? The Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. What they say, their tongue. What they've done, their actions are against the Lord. In verse 8, this is how God brings down a nation that he's angry with. The show of their countenance does witness against them. And declare their sin as Sodom. Now, declare their sin. Sodom was a sinful nation, abomination. They identify with that. I mean, we see that in our society everywhere, people identifying with the sins of Sodom, and it witnesses against them, and they hide it not. They're not ashamed of it. Morally corrupt people is a sign of God's judgment against the nation. God says, woe unto their souls, for they have rewarded evil to themselves. They brought evil unto themselves. Now, if we just would stop there, that'd be pretty discouraging. But look at verse 9, or 10 rather. Say ye to the righteous. Any righteous people here tonight? You on God's side? You righteous? This is what God says. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him. Why? Because we're on God's side. God is able to separate the sheep from what? The goats. He knows those that are his and those that are not. Say to the righteous that it will be well with him. For they shall eat of the fruit of their what? Doings. God will honor those that honor him. But woe to the wicked. Now that's the nation that turns from God. That's the ones that they're corrupt. Woe to the wicked. It will be ill with him. For reward of his hand shall be what? Given unto him. So as I was chewing on this in our nation and where we're at, you know, I know one thing, God's going to take care of us as God's people. Our nation may go down, but God's going to take care of his people. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with them. And we as God's people can trust that God's going to take care of us. But when God brings down a nation, the leadership falters. And with this last election, I'm not saying this is what God's doing. I'm just saying this is how God handles a nation, according to Isaiah chapter 3, when they turn from him. And it's part of God's judgment in dealing with a nation that's turned from him. But we as God's people can rest in verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it'll be well with them, for they shall eat of the fruit of their doings. God's going to bless us and be with us and take care of us, even in the midst of trouble and trying times. Is it 1st or 2nd Peter? It says, judgment begins in the house of God. Where's that verse found? Is that 1st or 2nd Peter? Judgment shall begin in the house of God. I'm not sure where it's found, but I think it's in maybe 2nd Peter. God's going to clean up his own house, and we've seen a lot of leadership faltering among Christian circles. But be it as it may, when God's hand moves from us to the unbelievers, God's going to deal with them, and he will judge them among the nations. Say to the righteous, it'll be well with him. God's going to watch over us. Even though a nation may go downhill, God's going to take care of us as his people and give to us what is good in his sight and protect us. So by way of encouragement here, we may be very discouraged with the turn of events. If God is judging America, if this is a turn of events that God has orchestrated, it follows his pattern for dealing with nations that turn from him. The leadership falters, and righteous people are moved aside, and the unrighteous take over to bring judgment against the nation. Because when you have immature and ungodly people ruling a nation, it's just a matter of time before it implodes and collapses. But we as God's people can rest in the fact that God is God, and he is in control of all things, and he knows his people. And he knows who the righteous is, he knows who the wicked is, and as we live for him, he will honor us. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, I thank you for what we looked at here tonight, and I pray as God's people that we would take to heart that, Lord, you move events and kingdoms according to your will and purpose. And Lord, you know the righteous in our land. Lord, you know the wicked in our land, and you will reward everyone according to their doings. So as God's people here tonight, one thing, Lord, we do trust you, and we know you're going to take care of us even during difficult times. And two, we know that those that are wicked and have brought much shame to our nation and our people, that you will deal with them, and that the wicked one day will give an account of their doings. So, Lord, help us as believers to trust you and to have encouragement in our hearts and hope that the true and living God is working all things together for good, for his glory and our good. So, Lord, we commit these matters into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.